Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. For anybody that doesn't know me, my name is Brandi Stankovic, and I'm an organizational change consultant. And today, I'm here with a good friend of mine, Jett Mitchell, and we're going to have some fun together. She's an executive recruiter, and we're going to talk a lot. So hi, Jett. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Today's episode is called How to Bomb an Interview. So if you've been wondering, how can I absolutely completely screw up in an interview? We're going to teach you how to do that today, right?
Absolutely.
All right. But before we do, I want to break it down a little bit and get into some details. So let's have some fun. When it comes to this overall, because the podcast is so new, I want to share with you or reiterate again how we break down the segments. The first segment is what I like to call the learn segment. And the learn segment is really just having a conversation about challenges that are happening in leadership, challenges that are happening in business, things that I see in organizations all over the globe. So we work with different firms from all over in the United States as well as the globe, and talking about leadership transition, strategic planning, et cetera. And so different things come up, and we want to have conversations with you about some of the things that we learned or insights that we pick up along the way. Then the second segment is the love section, the love. And I like to have a component of love in it, really just because I'm a love child in general, but also because it gives us an opportunity to bring in a subject matter expert, somebody that can tell us what's really happening in the real world, what's going on in their realities. And then the final section is what I like to call kick ass, because really it is in the execution of things where differentiation is created and differentiation occurs. Because you can know things in your head, you can learn things, but until you actually get out there and do something about it, nothing is really happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing is really known or learned, right? So because of that, we have the learn, the love, and then the kick ass. So let's rock and roll. So when it comes to how to bomb an interview, the couple things that I wanted to share today is really just in my experience when it comes to interviewing, all organizations have a recruiting process, it seems like. A lot of organizations that have really high tenure tend to almost be spoiled by that tenure. And so because of that, their recruiting efforts will be new, or they'll come into it kind of like a virgin or something. Like every time they go to hire somebody, it's this massively awkward event. And then there's other organizations on the other end of the spectrum that they have so much turnover that recruiting becomes said this well-oiled machine. And then a lot of organizations these days are outsourcing. And so that's one of the great things about why we have our guests here today. And they're outsourcing to executive search firms to have people that are really true experts in the area that can go out, that have networks built already, that can find candidates. So in this whole process, some of the things that I've picked up along the way that are kind of like duh moments you'd think for candidates. But the first is the digital presence. And what I mean by that is I was just talking to a colleague about it the other day, and it's not necessarily that you post bar photos on Facebook, although I'm sure several of you are pretty guilty of that. However, what I mean by that is that your digital presence reflects the brand that you want to have in as a candidate. So I was talking to a colleague, a homie, the other day about LinkedIn, and she was updating her LinkedIn page, and what she wanted to do is really just have a good reflection of where she was at in her career. Now, she is heading towards retirement, so it's really more of a legacy, but she wants to be able to offer consulting. She wants to be able to offer her expertise, right? But she also is a pretty experienced executive. And so the one thing that I wanted to offer here is not, you don't necessarily have to have a fancy LinkedIn page because you're out there just looking for a job. But if you want to be, everybody uses the internet anymore. I mean, we Google everything if you think about it. So if a firm is going to say, who is this broad, and do a little Google, and your LinkedIn a page pops up and you say, for example, you're a fancy marketing executive, but your website looks terrible. Those two things don't work together, right? So I think that a digital presence is so important and needs to be managed in the same way that you'd wear a suit to an interview. It's like the new suit to an interview is your digital presence, which you have in forward facing. Kind of along the same lines of that is the professionalism that really goes into interviews. It literally still occurs, and I thought that this was like some kind of myth amongst students of the 1990s or something, but it still occurs where people will give me a resume, and on the top it'll say like Brandy Love is sexy 2016 at yahoo.com, and you're going, you gotta be kidding me with that email address. It still happens. So I mean, really, when it comes to professionalism, we have to learn to step up our game with grammar, with writing, with presentation skills, with all of it. And this is all the way up to the CEO. This is all the way up to the C-suite executives. So often in a CEO recruitment position, there'll be a writing project, there'll be some sort of submission, and you are kind of put side by side with other CEO candidates and you're writing alone, but this is before they've ever even met you. And many people that are candidates for good jobs have incredible charisma. And if you could get the interview in person, you'd probably be able to get the job, but you won't be able to get the interview if you aren't being able to nail your digital presence, nail your writing and your professionalism. Final thing before we talk to Jet about her vast experience is the idea about being eager. I don't know if anybody that is listening or watching today has seen the movie or read the book about He's Just Not That Into You. And it's the idea that if somebody really wants a job, you'll know. If somebody wants to be around you, you'll know. And so often we find candidates where they're wishy-washy. We can't get a hold of them. We don't know if they really, they take forever to accept and all that. And almost in every single case where that occurs, those candidates end up going to another position or they don't last very long in the existing position, all those things. If somebody wants the job, they'll be on top of it. They'll be willing to fly from another state. They'll be willing to do whatever it takes to make things happen. And so having that eagerness, being there, being accessible, being ready and flexible and easy to contact is an essential part to that. So with all of those different things in mind, what I'd like to do now is introduce our colleague. But before we do, we have a special shout out today. So as you know, we have shout outs in all of the different podcasts. And in our podcast, and I urge everyone that's listening and watching to submit a shout out to us. But today we actually have two. And the reason being is I have a friend, Tiffany, that submitted or that, you know, sent me a couple shout outs, and they're awesome. So we have part one, part two, and they're just going to get better and better. So here's Tiffany shouting out for us with part one.
This is Tiffany, and I'm coming at you live from New York City at Katz's Deli. This pastrami will expand your ass, but listening to my girl Brandy Stankovic on the Strategic Hotbox will expand your mind.
So pastrami sandwiches will expand your ass, right? But this will expand your mind. Who knew that we would get such a cool tip in the Strategic Hot Box today, right? So that was part one of Tiffany there in New York City. And at this moment, what I'd like to really do is formally introduce you to our good friend, Jet Mitchell. Now, she is an executive recruiter, and you've been doing this for 17 years now. So 17 years of experience in headhunting. You also have 13 years of experience with large publicly traded organizations and four for smaller kind of more boutique at a boutique firm. And currently you're doing independent contract jobs, depending on how organizations need you. But on top of all of that, you're also a professor, tenured
yes.
professor,
a business
fancy
professor, yes.
tenured professor at the College of Southern Nevada. And so, which I hear you stand on chairs and get crazy in class.
I do. And I would stand on this chair, but the visual
yeah,
might
Yeah, we got told we weren't allowed.
I would do that just to show you, but I won't do it right now.
So you've conducted thousands of job interviews with professionals ranging from entry level to CEO spots and
yes.
everywhere in between.
Yes.
And nothing surprises you at this point.
I don't think there's anything that would happen, Brandy, in an interview setting that would surprise me. It
anything.
Would intrigue and interest me and potentially amaze me,
mm-hmm.
but it probably would not surprise me because just about anything in human nature could come out in an interview.
Really?
Fear, love, aggression, private anxiety. could be that. That's actually we were talking earlier about a horror story. That was not the horror story, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone had had that experience. So,
well, so with that in mind, when it comes to executive recruiting, tell us, you're talking about horror stories. Tell us about the worst things that someone could do in an interview.
So I would say, and when I was thinking about the three worst things, I thought, let me just give three general categories just to set this up, because I think it's so critical. Number one is to not be prepared. Either your digital presence is not adequate or severely lacking. So number one, not be prepared for the interview. Number two, not be ready to present your brand, who you are as a candidate, your unique selling proposition. So not even being ready, present ready, able to present, that's a fail. Number three, the way to absolutely bomb, the worst thing, is not being practiced or polished. So you could, in your mind, have the most amazing concept of how you can affect change in the organization, how you will be the ideal candidate, but you don't, if you're not able to practice that, polish that, it will fall
because
flat.
Stress can throw everything out the window.
Stress will throw everything out the window. So the minute that you, and I've had seasoned professionals that say, I don't need to practice. And I said, you absolutely are the person that needs to practice because you're overconfident in your ability.
Right.
But in the not being prepared, I had to grin because I had prepared a couple of comments of thinking about ways to bomb interviews. Mm-hmm. And when I was coming over here an hour and a half before this conversation with you, I had set up an interview. I'm doing a contract recruiting role for a local company here in Las Vegas as a contract executive recruiter. I had a candidate, and this is not an entry, not a minimum wage entry level person. I had a candidate come into an interview and sit down and tell the hiring manager, the person who could hire her in the job, I'll call her Melinda. That's not her name, but Melinda sits down and says, I have no idea what job I'm interviewing for. And I thought,
Welcome to life.
Fail. And so the hiring manager obviously immediately wants to end the interview because she fails, Melinda, on the not being prepared. Did not prepare for the
interview.
I don't
even understand that.
And
like, did she not look at the side of the building at least when she was walking in? I mean, really?
Where are you interviewing? And now in the days of LinkedIn and
right.
Facebook, I could have found out about, I'll call
seconds.
His name Andrew. That wasn't his name, but the person interviewed Andrew. I could have found out everything about Andrew. I could have learned his background, not only his current job, his past positions. I could have known his hobbies. I could have actually found his home address. If
totally.
I
Totally. State of Nevada's public record.
I could have found out the value of his house. Uh-huh. But the fact that she was so grossly unprepared is just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, too, is I think some people are overconfident, as I mentioned in the third point of the practice and polish, is that interviewing is a skill. And you can be really great executing in your job and unfortunately just not be a great interviewer or
right.
interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to be an interviewee, you need to learn how to do that skill. And it may be something that you don't really care for, but you need to do that. If you're going to play soccer, you need to grab a soccer ball and get on a soccer field.
No doubt.
So don't carry your football in
right.
and think, well, I know this other game, I can do it. You need to bring the soccer ball. And
sure.
many even senior level and seasoned professionals think, well, I really don't need to practice. Oh, that's silly. That's practicing interviews. That's for entry level. Absolutely not. And I have seen dozens of times where a senior executive in this Las Vegas market has not secured a position
because
he or she did not interview.
Wow.
And they were the best candidate.
Wow.
And so they would ask me, Jet, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you didn't present.
Well, you bombed it.
You followed 1, 2, 3. You bombed
right.
an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Fail. Epic
right.
fail. Sometimes an epic fail, which is a shame because these are individuals that can really, they can do an effective job.
So the opposite is also true then. From an organization's perspective, somebody that's interviewing people,
yes.
we have to be careful not to be like kind of in the eyes of love of somebody that you like a little too much. And also the opposite, try to your best to pull out for those candidates that are good on paper to see their personality as well, knowing that people could bomb.
Absolutely. And actually, you're actually bringing up another interesting point. Many interviewers make the mistake of the just like me. And I've read a lot of literature, not only research, but psychology literature about people liking to hire people that look like
sure.
them, that talk
that
like them,
like
that act like them,
wow.
that have similar traits.
Uh-huh.
And if you can avoid that bias to say, well, they speak too quickly and I speak slowly, or they're from Pennsylvania and I'm originally from Arizona, or whatever the potential bias is, you probably will have a better mix of candidate. You'll have a better department.
Diversity. Uh-huh.
Yes. And so when people say diversity, it isn't just for the sake of championing some kind of cause.
Ethnicity,
it really needs
right?
to be mm-hmm. that a department does not function well when you have one person
fresh
and
voice.
Six clones.
Uh-huh.
If you have six people that have the same
robots, uh-huh.
yes, they're absolutely boring, stilted, scripted people.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want a department of six or 600 that way. So as
right.
an interviewer, I need to set that aside and say, as long as they're not bombing, if they're prepared,
sure.
if they have had a little bit of practice, can I understand where they're coming from? Could they be effective in the job?
So with these bombs that you've seen, what's the worst ever complete horror story that you saw?
So I've seen so many that it is hard to narrow down some things that you would not believe. But I had one that just stands out because it was so amazing. I had a hiring manager of a small company. It's about 35 individuals here in the Las Vegas market. And one of the owners of the company, it was a two-person owned company. He wanted me to find a technology professional, and I had him interview someone. I'll call him Earl. That is not his name. He came into the interview and did the interview. And the person that was conducting the interview, I'll say George. That George is not his real name. George calls me after, and he says, I met Earl. And there was a pause. And I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
How did it go with Earl? And he said, Earl set one of his guns on the interview table.
What kind of gun?
I did not ask what kind of gun. I, at the time, was working for a very large, publicly traded international staffing firm, which was very conservative and corporate. So I'm sitting, my heart rate is spiking up to 300 beats per minute.
And this was obviously not a job for like ammunition or something.
No, it was a technology professional role.
Okay.
Yes, it was a technology professional, a senior role. And then he said, actually, he had two guns with him. He had just set the one gun on the table. And I immediately just said, it just came to me. I said, was it loaded?
Right.
And he said, no, the one on the table wasn't, but the one he was carrying was.
How did he know all of this? Was he talking openly?
And then I later said, are you serious? You really know all this? And he said, actually, I'm a gun guy. We're hiring him.
I'm glad.
I'm glad I didn't immediately do my corporate,
right, like,
I'm so sorry. We
right,
always
sure.
prep. We
yeah.
always do a candidate mm-hmm. preparation to tell them appropriate.
Because really, you should have said, attaboy. Right.
Way to go. And then I said, when he said that, I'm a gun guy, I said, well, he didn't bring enough guns then.
Well, obviously.
And he said,
not.
No. He said, he has 16 guns.
We compared racks.
We compared it. They were whipping out things. And anyway.
Yeah, so. It kind of feels that way to me. There's something about putting a gun on the table that feels a little bit like that, like a little comparison.
He said he whipped it out and put it on the table. So
oh my
I
goodness
and
gracious.
What was interesting about the side note to that, I always took every professional that I'd placed to lunch somewhere in Las Vegas to thank them for working with me. And I, with one exception, the gun guy. I never did. So I am sorry that I never had a chance to, but
And if he's listening, I like lunch. So just saying.
It was the gun thing. So I just never did schedule a lunch. I just thought, I don't want to be at Chili's and have that gun going. Great guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. He ended up staying in the role for
nice.
Just shy of 6 years. So
okay.
it was a good placement. It was a good fit. It was a corporate match. But it was guns.
How funny. So what have you learned then from all of your experiences?
I've learned several things. First of all, that even if you're a senior level person, you probably want to practice. I also have learned that we may not know what we don't know. And for example, I had a gal that I just worked with one-on-one. I'll call her Deborah. Deborah was...
I love these names you come up with.
Deborah.
George, Earl.
George, Earl, Deborah.
Debbie.
So Debbie. Debbie mm-hmm. was failing it. She was interviewing 4 and 5 places. She was clearly qualified for the role. She was not getting the role. So mm-hmm. she was bombing an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with her, and what I realized is Debbie was just scowling. She was, what she did is she had a scrunched up expression,
mm-hmm.
and she was doing that at the end of every sentence. So it was almost like a nonverbal tick where after every sentence she was... And it took me 2 seconds. I sat down with her face to face. She was a friend of a friend. And I said, Debbie, I said, do you realize you are scrunching your face after each interview question?
Mm-hmm.
You are a pleasant person, but you are showing basically a nonverbal that says I'm...
The Botox is worn off.
The Botox has completely worn off. it's over. Uh-huh. So I've learned that we may not know. She did not know. She was, and she was not an entry level person. She did not realize that she was giving off that. So she had an interview. The next interview she had, she secured the job.
Wow.
So she now is employed.
So just the body language really made all the...
It really was that something. So I've learned that we may think we are doing something well. Mm-hmm. And I've had many people tell me, Jet, if you just get me in front of the hiring manager, I'll get the job. That's a maybe.
Right.
That's a maybe. Uh-huh. Because you may think you're all that in a tuna sandwich.
Sure.
And a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't know what we don't know.
So, you know, it's interesting when you say that about female, talking about the female role too in interviews. We do some leadership transitions, of course, and I think that the hard part that I'm seeing is that we don't have enough females stepping to the plate either. Do you have that experience?
Well, I have recruited in technology, and mm-hmm. women are grossly and sadly underrepresented in technology to the point of many hiring managers say, I strongly prefer to have a female candidate. If you have one, I want to hire diverse candidates, female and diversity from other, any other area as well, any other types of diversity, but specifically females have not stepped to the plate.
They really haven't. And I was talking to a group recently and said that they should almost abuse the token concept, like the token female thing, because any good recruiter, if the people that are receiving want to see a good pool, you might throw in a female. If you have all males, you might throw in this female. Like you just kind of let somebody, like give her a chance, especially if she's got good attitude, good kind of personality and those kind of skills, but maybe just doesn't have some of the other skills the other candidates have, whatever. And I was like, abuse that. If you're a female that wants to rise to the top, just abuse the fact that just go after things, throw in the hat. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, really.
And I am a proponent of helping female. If I have a female applicant, I will tell her I'm committed to you to find a job. Mm-hmm. I will find you a job. I will, if it is all possible for me to find you a job, women helping other women is something that is incredibly, it resonates with me. It's incredibly powerful. It works. And people say networking, but really what I mean is helping a woman, helping a fellow professional transition into the next step. And I think one thing women do in an interview is discount themselves. And I've seen that where they say, well, I know you wanted these six things, but I only have five. And then all of these, oh, I'm so sorry. And they'll say, and excuse me. No,
I'm nervous today.
Because your male counterpart is standing there saying, I've got this experience. I've got this experience. So hire me now. I'm good. I'm worthwhile as a candidate. Hire me.
So step up.
Step up. Be and watch for your I'm sorry's. Watch for your I'm excuse me's. Watch for your deflection of, oh,
disclaimers.
Go in there and your scowls and your pleasant. Because you want to show you're powerful, personable, competent. You want to show all those things that you are. I mean, that's because we are, especially women in technology. I've placed some amazing women professionals that want to, they say, I don't want to be considered a woman professional. I'm a professional. I'm good at what I do.
Right.
Put me in there. I can play. Put me in, coach. I'm good. I can go.
Right. So share one action item or takeaway for everyone watching and listening.
I think I would, if someone was watching this or listening to this, I would say broaden the scope of what you think an interview is. Mm. And I'll give you an example. Every semester when I'm as a professor at College of Southern Nevada here in Las Vegas, I have my students do a job interview workshop and they practice interviewing, they practice shaking hands because many of them giggle or they just aren't, they're experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And many students, every semester, there's one guy or gal that says, I don't really need to go to your workshop, Professor Jet. I have a job. And I say, I want you to go and I want you to get a promotion. And I've had people get raises, promotions, and new jobs. So broaden the scope. You think you're walking into a lunch meeting. What if it's an interview? What if it's somebody?
You're always interviewing.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to lunch with somebody, a good business idea is to go to lunch once a month with somebody who could hire you.
Right.
You're
focus
on
the result.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they could be there. So broaden the scope. Don't think, well, I'm not in the market. Who isn't in the market for an amazing opportunity?
Sure.
You're always in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interview.
Yep.
And so broaden the scope. If you're talking to someone who says, oh, wait, I may be working on this project and you want to do it, you're interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
So then you immediately want to be prepared. You want to be ready to present. Sure. You want to be polished right then. You're okay. Here's my message. I've got it.
Yep.
And then you're in.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I'm on LinkedIn. If you Google Jet Mitchell, and it's J-E-T like an airplane, Mitchell, Las Vegas, it will be the first
It's kind of nice to have a name like that.
Jet Mitchell.
Brandy Stankovic does that for me as well. It's Jet not nearly as cool as Jet Mitchell, though.
Jet Mitchell. That's awesome. That's my hero name. And then my email is MitchellJet, all one word, at Gmail. So it's MitchellJet at Gmail.
Excellent. So now, thank you very much for being here today. Can I high five you? I don't know if that's the best thing. Oh, blowing it up. What? Thank you for being here talking about interviewing skills. I love hearing about the horror stories and the good stuff too. You're just a wealth of knowledge and I just want to hear more and more. So maybe we should have you back someday to do some more. And now what I want to do is send it out so you can hear the delicious part two of our shout out from Tiffany.
Oh, yes! If you want to have what I just had, then you'll keep listening to my girl, Brandy Stankovic, on the Strategic Hot Box. This is Tiffany, coming at you live from Katz's Deli in New York City.
I know that I want to have what she's having. I feel like it's warmer in the studio right now, right? Is it not? So I feel like everyone just needs to listen to this podcast now. Tell your friends, clearly, because everybody needs to have what she's having. So now it's time for us to kick some ass. As always, at the end of our podcast, I give you takeaway items, action items to walk away from this and say, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to try to make happen? And with that in mind, our first kick ass opportunity is to update that digital presence. So incorporate the things that Jet shared with us, but get out there, make sure that your digital presence matches the brand that you want to be delivering out in the market. The second is that remembering everything is an interview. Jet, at the end of this, just was saying to us that from head to toe, broaden the scope, understand what's occurring, and know that everything's an interview. When you talk to the receptionist, when you email the recruiter, when you're there for the presentation, it's all an interview, and they all talk to one another. It's crazy to think that you can treat one person one way and another person another way. So step it up. Everything is an interview. The third is go after it. I don't care if you're a female or a male. Go after it. Make things happen. Step up to the game. Be confident in your skills. Know what you're doing when you're there. Practice, because practice makes progress, right? Just because you're a good human being or you're good at your job doesn't necessarily mean, from what we learned from Jet, that you're good at interviewing. So go after it. The fourth, be accessible and professional. That eagerness that I was sharing with you, be there, be flexible, be aware, know how to professionally write and be able to submit things and dress and, of course, all the other things that you've heard in traditional interview conversations, but be ready and willing. And the final is to have some fun and show your personality. When I talk to organizations about hiring, I always say to them, really, the interview process, I mean, you've determined whether or not you like this person by what's on their paper. Let's be honest. People always say hire for attitude, train for skill. And I know that was a beautiful thing that Southwest coined. But really, at the end of the day, you're looking at a lot of resumes. And so you're looking at the skills first. And so the interview process then becomes this opportunity for everyone to just find out if you like them. At the end of the interview, if you want to just take them home and cuddle them, then, you know, I don't mean that literally. That's very wrong with HR.
Have barbecue.
But, yeah, okay. So if you want to take them home for a barbecue or something, the idea being that if you think that from a culture standpoint that you can be around somebody, then that's a good fit, right? Then you want to have some fun. So in an interview, show your personality, be there, and figure out this is the organization that you want to work with as well. So that's our kick ass for today. So thank you for being part of our Strategic Hot Box. Thank you again to Jet Mitchell for being our guest. We'd love to hear from you on topics that you'd like to tackle here on the podcast. So share your thoughts with us and questions on Twitter or Instagram at Brandy Love. That's BrandiLuv. Or email at the podcast at, so it's podcast at strategichotbox.com. Be sure to add the show to your favorite RSS feeds, and we'll keep episodes coming your way, or you can download them at thestrategichotbox.com anytime. And of course, for any ongoing access to leadership development or exercises or different tools, you can pick up a copy of my new book. It's called The Strategic MVP, and it was co-written with Mark Thompson, and it's available at any book retailer, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. So until next time, go kick some ass.